everyone. How's it going out there? This is Amy, and it is time for Amy's Kids Show. And by my count, we are up to episode number 163. 163. So if you are listening on, let's see, what is today? March 17th, 2024. Then you are hearing a live episode of Amy's Kids Show. I know it's getting a little confusing whether I'm here live or not, but the weather is good, and I was able to make it here to the radio station for my live show today, and I am super excited because today is a super special day on Amy's Kids Show. I actually can't believe that I've never had one of these on the show before, seeing as they're such important people in the world. But I have never before actually had one of these on my show today. And let me just come right out and tell you, we're going to have a president of the United States on the show today. Isn't that exciting? Well, he's not actually going to be on the show because he lived a long time ago, actually. But we're going to be learning a lot about him. And in fact, he's not just a president of the United States. He is the first president of the United States of America. Does anybody out there know who this could be? Who was the first president of the United States? Well, George Washington, of course. George Washington. There's a picture of him on your quarters. Does anybody have a quarter, right? 25 cents is a quarter. Does anybody have a dollar bill? Well, if you have any of those laying around the house or in your pocket, you could take one out right now and you'd be looking at George. That's our friend George, George Washington. Some people say he's the father of our country, right? And he's a lot more than that. He did a lot of amazing things. But of course, like all of us, he started out the same way. He started out as a boy, right? As a boy growing up in Virginia. And what did he learn when he was growing up? Well, he learned all kinds of important things, just like you out there today. I'm sure you're learning all kinds of important things right now. Well, so did he. So we're going to take a little time to read a little bit of George Washington's biography. It's called Soldier, Hero, President. But he was a lot more than that, too. He was a revolutionary dude. He was super revolutionary. In fact, he was part of the Revolutionary War. In fact, he led our soldiers in the Revolutionary War. He must have been so brave. And what do you guys know about him? I just named off a few things, but do you know some facts about George Washington? I bet you don't know this one. Something super big that he has in common with me. So let's get started.
Who can tell me a fact about George Washington?
He was president?
He was our first president. We owe him a lot. How about something else? Something, specific?
He had false teeth?
Well, that is true, but how about something not everybody knows?
He could not tell a lie.
Well, I know they used to say that, but he was human just like us, so that's probably not true.
Then tell us something we don't know about him.
All right, how about this? Did you know that George Washington loved to dance?
What?
Come on!
It's true. For all the serious things he did for this country, people who knew him would say he loved to go to parties and he loved to dance.
George Washington loved to dance?
George Washington loved to dance!
In 1732, someday he'd be the one they choose to run the red, white, and blue. You've seen his face, cause it's placed on the green $1. George Washington, our number one first founding father. The colonies were in need of someone who could lead them. Washington was the one to bring that taste of freedom. With George on board, the USA had a fighting chance. A revolutionary man who also loved to dance.
He loved to dance.
George Washington loved to dance.
He loved to dance.
George Washington loved to dance.
He loved to dance.
George Washington loved to dance.
wig, that really was his hair. Hey, George, be our king.
That's no way to do this thing. A two-term presidency. Now let's set up the cabinetry.
With his wife Martha by his side, this country would advance. But one thing that we've learned today, he really loved to dance.
He loved to dance.
George Washington loved to dance.
George Washington loved to dance.
He loved to dance.
Look, Dad. Here come the horses. Wow, look at that one.
That's the same kind of horse George Washington rode.
George Washington? Was he a patriot?
Yeah, one of the greatest. He was the general who led the Americans in the war against England.
And he was the first president of the United States. That's why we call him the father of our country.
He was a great man.
Because he was a good man.
George Washington was a very good man, a very good man indeed. He could have told a lie, but he said, the truth is what we need. An honorable man for his word was sure, a man of great his heart was pure. He was a very good, very good, very good, very good man indeed.
George Washington was a very brave man, a very brave man indeed. He could have stayed at home, but he said, a general's what we need. He wouldn't give in to adversity.
All right, folks, I have some patriotic music on in the background here because we are celebrating today on Amy's Kids Show. We are celebrating something I have never specifically celebrated before. I have never specifically celebrated a specific president of the United States before, although I've brought up the subject of presidents, right? And who are they and what do they do? And I know that this year, when I'm recording this radio show, we happen to be having a presidential election. So there are actually people in our country running for president this year. So I thought it would be a good time to sit back and remember the first president of the United States of America. And I'll tell you, I have learned so much about George Washington getting ready for this radio show. And I did not know anything really about George, nothing that nobody else knew, right? About the cherry tree and the teeth and all sorts of subjects that we will get into over the next couple of episodes of Amy's Kids Show, because there are lots of amazing facts about George Washington, not just that he loved to dance, which was my favorite amazing fact. But he was also a soldier, a hero, a president. And even though he was a soldier, and a lot of what he did in his life was teaching people how to fight and fighting for freedom, which is a very, very serious job, I found it totally amazing that his main message was for peace. He actually really wanted peace, and he worked really hard for peace, and we're going to learn about that. He believed in freedom, but then also unity, coming together, right? These are all the great qualities and probably why people try to remember him as often as they can to keep in mind how hard he worked for our country and maybe some of his words of wisdom so we can keep working in that direction towards freedom and unity. And so this biography I'm going to be reading from was written by Justine and Ron Fontes. It's called George Washington, Soldier, Hero, and President. So George was born in a state called Virginia, but it wasn't a state back then. It was called a colony. And colonies were places where European countries sent settlers. European countries sent settlers all over the world, actually, to live in colonies. And these new lands provided the mother country with valuables like gold and spices, or in the case of America, crops like cotton and tobacco. England owned the 13 American colonies, including Virginia, where George was born. The people in the colonies were ruled by English governors and were subjects of the English king. Much of Virginia was not mapped when George Washington's father bought land for a big farm called a plantation. George was born there on February 22nd, 1732, and was followed by five brothers and sisters. He liked to fish, swim, and ride horses. There were no schools near George's home. He learned reading, writing, and arithmetic at home from a tutor. Tutors were traveling teachers. George never learned to spell very well, but he was great at math. His father planned to send George to school in England when he was old enough. But when George was 11, his father suddenly died. Instead of going to school in England, George stayed home to help his mother run the farm and take care of his younger brothers and sisters. He grew up fast. One day, while cleaning up, George found his father's surveying tools. George's father's surveying tools were used to map the land around them. George decided to learn to survey, too. He practiced on a turnip field and a pine forest. Being good at math certainly helped. George missed his father, but he still had someone to look up to, his half-brother Lawrence, who was 14 years older. Lawrence had gone to school in England and was a colonial officer in the British Army. He fought for the English in the Caribbean War. After the war, Lawrence came back to America to run his own plantation called Mount Vernon. George went there to live with Lawrence and his wife when he was 15 years old. Whenever Lawrence's soldier friends visited, George listened to them talk about moving their troops and supplying them with food and weapons. He learned a lot about military strategy and how to fight with a sword. A fencing foil is a thin sword. Fencing is fighting with a sword. George, being tall and athletic, learned to fence very well. George also kept up with his surveying, learning to map. When he was only 16, he was hired for a job by a rich farmer to survey his lands. George had a great time on his first trip away from home. He climbed mountains, and he slept on straw in huts or outside under the stars. In the wilds of Virginia, George met tough frontiersmen and watched Native American dances. He wore Indian clothes and learned Native woodcraft. The Indians showed George how to move silently through the woods. George did a good job mapping the land. The next year, he became surveyor of Culpeper County, Virginia. George was only 17. But people trusted George because he was so tall, honest, and responsible. All right, folks. So George was not just a map maker, though, right? He learned a lot of things when he was growing up. He just started out as a map maker, as a surveyor, like his dad, right? Using his dad's tools, but he learned a lot of other skills, and so it turned out that he was also an excellent soldier. And it turned out that the British Army and military first had him in as part of their army. He actually first fought for the English, which is kind of strange, right? He started out fighting for the English, and that was part of the French and Indian War, which unfortunately we don't have time to go into today on Amy's Kids Show, but I do recommend folks look into that. That was a very interesting time. But after the French and Indian War, things started to really change here in the colonies. Here's what happened after George's success in the French and Indian War. George started to realize that America had problems. To pay for the French and Indian War, England put high taxes on imported goods. George proposed that Americans refuse to buy the things that were being imported from England, like tea. This protest sent a clear message to England that the colonies would not put up with unfair taxes. It had another good effect. Americans bought American products, so colonial industries grew. That means people were making money, people were making things, people were selling things and trading things, and people were becoming prosperous. However, the situation in the colonies got worse. England came up with new taxes. When the Americans protested, England sent in troops. The Americans got together to decide what to do. Leaders and thinkers from each colony formed the Continental Congress. The Continental Congress decided that America needed an army to fight the English. Guess who they voted to become commander-in-chief of the new Continental Army? None other than our friend George Washington. He agreed, but refused to be paid. He said, "I'm going to do this for free. I don't want you guys to pay me to do this." George only wanted to do his duty. On July 3rd, 1775, George took command. He was very disappointed, though. The men of the Continental Army were not professional soldiers. They were farmers, backwoodsmen, clerks, dock workers, cobblers, and fishermen. They were not used to marching or following orders. They did not have enough uniforms, guns, bullets, or food. It was very disappointing. In the fall of 1775, in fact, smallpox swept through the Continental Army. Thousands of men got sick. George, fortunately, was immune to smallpox because he had had the disease when he was 19 years old. So instead of going home to visit Martha, his wife, that winter, George stayed to encourage his ailing army. The American colonial fighters were called Minutemen. Professional soldiers waited in a fort for orders to fight, but Minutemen came from the countryside in a minute. George sadly observed that they also disappeared in a minute when it was time to drill. Minutemen were more independent than professional soldiers, but they had great fighting spirit. Meanwhile, the American colonies were slowly becoming a nation. In January of 1776, America got its first flag. 13 red and white stripes, which stood for the 13 colonies. On July 4th, 1776, the colonies officially became a country when the Continental Congress signed the Declaration of Independence. And there's a picture here. I wish you could see it. It says the public reading of the Declaration of Independence. And it shows somebody up on a little stage that they built out of wood reading the Declaration of Independence to a huge crowd of people. Because you have to remember back then, there was no television. Nobody had TV. Nobody had radio. Nobody had cell phones or other ways of getting information. They had newspapers and pamphlets and papers, right? But a lot of times they would just read things like that to make big announcements. George read the thrilling document to his troops, in fact. It said that America was no longer a group of colonies under English rule, but one nation free to rule itself. The American Revolution had begun. Now, I don't know if any of you out there have ever heard the words of the Declaration of Independence, but if you have ever heard it, and if you've ever read it, then you're probably going to recognize this song.
When in the course of human events it's necessary for some to dissolve political connections, they should give reasons and declare the causes which impel them to the separation. This we know, this we know. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. Liberty, the pursuit of happiness, and life for rights and our inalienable. We declare independence from you. Goodbye, Britain. Goodbye, Britain. Oh, we declare independence from you. Goodbye, Britain. Goodbye, Britain. Oh, secure these rights, governments are instituted by men. The power to govern is from the consent of a govern. But when a long train of abuse it becomes despotism, they must go, they must go. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. Goodbye, Britain. Oh, we declare independence from you. Goodbye, Britain. Goodbye, Britain.
Goodbye, Britain.
Oh, the king has refused assent to laws. Goodbye, Britain.
Goodbye, Britain.
Goodbye, Britain.
Goodbye, Britain.
Oh, just check out all of these other causes. Goodbye, Britain.
Goodbye, Britain.
Petition for redress, only to be met with injury. We now pledge our lives for chin and honors, that we are in upright, ought to be free. We declare independence from you. Goodbye, Britain.
Goodbye, Britain.
Oh, we declare independence from you. Goodbye, Britain.
Goodbye, Britain.
Oh.
Welcome back, class. I'm Mr. Betts, and that was the Declaration of Independence using almost exclusively lines from the original text. Done to the weekend, can't feel my face. Now, if you want to see a response to that song, why don't you check out King George sings Sam Smith's Stay With Me, because we put out new videos every Tuesday. You can follow me across all social media at Mr. Betts Class, and I'll see you next time.
Well, folks, I hope that you enjoyed that little shout out to the Declaration of Independence that came from Mr. Brett's class. A few of the songs today are from Mr. Brett's class. I think he's a history teacher. He does some really great, great parodies that are right up the line of history and just learning about the world, right? And learning about all these folks who came before us and all of the amazing things they did that make everything we do today possible. So we are celebrating George Washington, and he was in charge of the Continental Army during the Revolutionary War. In charge, that's a big job. And there were a lot of amazing things that happened during that war, but I really want to highlight just how talented George Washington was, how lucky we were to have him in charge, and I have a couple of examples. These are famous examples of how he took what he learned, probably as a boy, right? Listening to the stories that his uncle and his friends would tell about the Caribbean War. And he learned about that. And so he learned about, you know, walking quietly through the woods too, right? He learned that when he was growing up. He learned about sleeping outside and how to survive and how to fight with a sword and, boy, all kinds of things. So let's see how he used those talents to help us during the Revolutionary War. See, in the winter of 1776, the English stopped fighting with us for a few months. Wars always stopped back then during the winter. After all, who would be crazy enough to battle ice and snow as well as the enemy? So the English warships left. Most of their army went home for the winter. Only about 1,500 Hessian troops, those were German mercenaries who were very skilled and very trained fighters from Germany, and they were there fighting for the English, but they decided to stick around for the winter, and they were camped at Trenton, New Jersey. The American army was just across the Delaware River. And the Hessians, who are the German soldiers, celebrated Christmas with plenty of wine that year because they thought, oh, that American army, they're across that icy, cold river. Who would ever think to cross an icy river in the wintertime? That's super dangerous. And so they just relaxed and they said, hey, it's Christmas, let's have a party. So they had a big party and they probably had too big of a party. And so come Christmas Day, they were not feeling very good. So on the cold night of December 26th, Christmas Day, 1776, George decided that his army needed a party of its own. A surprise party. George got the fishermen among his troops to do what they did best. They quietly rowed back and forth across the river all night, through the sleet and through the rain, carrying the American soldiers across the icy river. Now, the Americans would have been very easy targets if the Hessians had spotted them. Because they were all, you know, coming up on the shore and they were gathering together and then waiting for the other boats to come back and forth and bring all their friends. It took a long time and they were out in the open there along the river. If anybody saw them, they would have been in big trouble. And actually, they would have been in huger trouble even because the weather was so bad that the Americans could not even use their guns. The gunpowder was too soggy to fire. So they had to put bayonets on the ends of their rifles, which are like removable knives. So they wouldn't even have been able to shoot back and defend themselves if they were spotted. But George's daring plan worked. At 8 o'clock in the morning, George and his troops attacked. The sleepy Hessians were completely surprised. And within 45 minutes, George and his troops had captured 900 of these German mercenaries and had lost only 4 of their own men. After George's victory at Trenton, England sent more troops to New Jersey. They were sure that they could defeat the rebels with all those new soldiers that they had. But George played another trick. This time, his army built big campfires. The English thought that the colonial soldiers were sitting around those fires and warming their feet all night, but they were not. The trick was that they were really actually slipping silently into the woods, the way that George was teaching them how to do that, right? George showed them how to move quietly like Indians had taught him. By morning, the Americans were miles away from their camp. So George's second surprise attack on the English post in Princeton won another victory. Suddenly, the ragged army of rebels looked able to beat the mighty British Empire. To celebrate the victories and rally support for the Continental Army, George led a parade of troops through Philadelphia, the capital of the new nation. The rows of Continental soldiers wore a shabby assortment of tattered uniforms, work clothes, Indian shirts, and even some enemy coats. So they were not all dressed alike like we're used to seeing soldiers, right? They were wearing whatever they could wear, actually. The men sang and drummed loudly to show their fighting spirit. And to make his troops look like one unified army, George had them put sprigs of greenery in their caps. As they marched by fours, making the parade seem even longer. So he played all kinds of tricks to make sure that everybody looked together, right? Made sure they all had some greenery, like from trees, in their hats. What an amazing, wow, that people came out and cheered them on and knew that this was their army and they were fighting for their freedom is really amazing, folks. Let's go to the parade and see what's going on. Thanks for joining me for Amy's Kids Show and our celebration of George Washington, our first president.
The day is broke, my lads, march on and follow, follow Washington. He will lead the way, my lads, is he that leads the way. Where he commands, we shall obey through rain and snow by night and day. Determined to be free, my lads, determined to be free. Till freedom reigns, our happy bands will fight like true Americans. Until our cause prevails, my lads, until our cause prevails. With heart in hand and God our trust, we'll freely fight. Our cause is just, march on, my lads. Lads, march on and follow Washington. The day is broke, my lads, march on and follow, follow Washington. 'Tis he that leads the way, my lads, 'tis he that leads the way.
Okay, so we were just at the parade with the Continental Army and seeing them march down the street. And people believed in them, right? And they believed in themselves. And they didn't look like an army had ever looked before. But they believed in freedom. They believed in being free from a king to rule over us and make all of our decisions. They knew that if people were free, right? Then we could prosper. Then there would be abundance. And that's what Amy's Kids Show is all about, is abundance. And I just love how George believed in abundance, too, and how he not just believed in it, but worked really hard and fought for it and rallied the troops so that they would fight for it, too. What an amazing person. Okay, so here we go. In May of 1787, state representatives decided to write a constitution to describe how the new American government should work. The delegates voted for George to lead the group. And I'm not surprised, are you? Though he was old and tired, George took the job. He spent a long, hot summer in Philadelphia listening to delegates arguing. George did his best to make sure the powers of the new government were clear. In June of 1788, the Constitution was approved by most of the states. Now America had a real government. So who do you think we chose for our first president, right? When it came time to choose a president under this new Constitution, guess who won? Guess who won unanimously? That means no one voted against him. George Washington, our first president. Everybody wanted George to be the first president. Well, he accepted the job, and he tried to very, very hard to be a fair president. You see, there were two different political parties or groups in the country at the time who had most of the power. One favored a strong central government run by the people with the most property. And the other believed in states' rights and the rights of working people. George worked with men from both of the parties. He also tried to balance the needs of all the states. George toured the tiny nation, listening to people's problems. He welcomed all Americans to come and talk with him. George also supported the Bill of Rights. He had fought hard for America's freedom. The Bill of Rights makes sure that the government won't take away freedom. For example, for Americans get to tell it like it is, thanks to the Bill of Rights. That means Americans are free to say whatever they want. And we can even criticize our own government. The right of free speech and free press, among other things, are granted in the Bill of Rights. Well, George served 4 years as our president, as our first president. And guess what happened after that? Well, people wanted him to do another four, right? They liked him so much. So, in 1792, George was once again unanimously elected president. His second term, though, was even harder than his first term. In 1793, war broke out between England and France. The French reminded George of all the help that they had given the Americans during the American Revolution. They wanted America now to help France. But George did not think the new country was strong enough to fight so soon. Despite being criticized by people, right? People did not agree with George, but he stood by his decision. George did what he thought was best for America, and he stayed out of that war. He also signed peace treaties with the Indians and with Spain. Many people expected George to be president for the rest of his life, like a king. But George refused to run for a third term. He believed the American government would be better off with a new leader every 4 to 8 years. In fact, George's farewell speech guided the nation into the future. His great rule was to avoid war. That became the basis for American foreign policy. He also warned that the different interests of the different political parties might tear apart our country. That he warned us that we needed to find a way to be united with each other despite our disagreements. We must stay united, not divided, if we want to have freedom and peace. That's what I like best. That was George's outgoing message to our country. Thanks for joining me for the celebration of George Washington. We've got a couple of songs to take us out today. Remember, you're the greatest.
I've never been to Buckingham Palace. I never chopped down no cherry tree that I know of. I'm just the first president. Perhaps you have a portrait of me. I'm on the quarter to 42 presidents after me. I'm the only one elected unanimously. Public didn't have a say. They would have voted for me anyway. Well, yeah, we probably would. Building a nation is as easy for me as building a fort out of necessity. You can say that I'm the one that started the revolution. Don't act like I'm a royal. You can call me Fuzzy J. The many wise men I have met. Well, I keep them in my cabinet. I know how much you toil, just to make some whiskey, but you better pay the Fed, or you'll be hearing from me. Some like the Brits, some like the French. You know I like neutrality. We can all be friends. I can't be in an alliance. Entangling me. Just check Jay's treaty.
Well, you like the bridge.
Warrior General 6'2". Bet you didn't know that I'm a dancing fool. I guess it is okay that I have to share my birthday.
Well, I paid the slaves.
You might have heard my teeth are made from wood. I'm here to tell you your source ain't good.
But we'll never have royal democracy.
Leaders won't have a valid claim just because they have the same name. And don't call me a ruler. 8 years is enough for me. Hopefully they'll pick the next without political parties. Oh, I cannot believe you too. I only give you one job to do.
George Washington loved to dance. Let's see what else you remember. We put a little quiz together. Are you ready? Okay. First question. What year was George Washington born? 1776, 1492, 1732, or 1985. What do you think?
1732.
You got it. Good job. All right, next question. What was his wife's name? Mary, Michelle, Martha, or Melania? Need a hint? It's the same name as both Batman and Superman's mom.
Martha.
That's it. You're 2 for 2. Now, I hope you're paying attention because it might get a little bit harder. Ready? What was George Washington's military rank? General, millennial, admiral, or seal?
General.
Yes! You are excellent listeners. All right, this next one is a fill-in-the-blank question. Ready? George Washington was America's blank president. First, fourth, 2,386, 490th, 46th.
That's an easy one. George Washington was our first president.
Okay, you know your stuff. Let's see if I can try to stump you on this one. On what holiday did George Washington cross the Delaware? Christmas Eve, Easter, President's Day, or Christmas Day?
Christmas Day.
Ding, 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 ding. You're right. It was on Christmas Day. Okay, here's a tough one. What U.S. currency, that means money, does George Washington's face appear on? The $1 bill, the $100 bill, the quarter, or V-Bucks?
I know this, the $1 bill.
No, he's on the quarter.
Actually, you're both right. It was kind of a trick question.
George Washington's face appears on both the $1 bill and the 25-cent quarter. You guys are good. Okay, we're almost done. Last question. What was the maximum amount of time George Washington believed a president should be allowed to serve? 2 years, forever, 2 terms, or 14 light years? It's a tougher one, huh? What do you think?
2 terms.
That's right. George Washington believed that no president should serve more than 2 4-year terms. Otherwise, they might start thinking they're king. Wow, you guys did so great. One more bonus question. What did George Washington love to do?
George Washington loved to dance.
All right, folks, you heard it here. George Washington, our first president, loved to dance. And that is the magic of it, right? I mean, of course he's a perfect guest for Amy's Kids Show, because that is one of my ultimate favorite things to do. And I got to do a lot of dancing here today. How about you guys? Who knew that there are so many amazing songs out there and music to dance to dedicated to our first president, Commander-in-Chief of the Continental Army? Wow, he was quite an incredible person. I can really see now why so many people trusted him and put their faith in him and followed him. Because, well, I think one of the coolest things is, you know, he stuck by his people. You know, I didn't have a chance to go into all of the details of it. I had to skip a lot of parts of this book that I was reading here today. Let me see if I can grab it in case you want to finish reading it yourself. It was called George Washington, Soldier, Hero, President by Justine and Ron Fontes. F-O-N-T-E-S. Fontes? Fontes? Fonts? They wrote this book, and there are a lot of details I had to skip. Details about, you know, how he had to keep his troops, you know, dedicated and cheered up even though times were tough. And one of the things he did was he stayed with them. He slept in the same tents that they were sleeping in. He could have gone back home and stayed in a comfy bed and been with his wife and family who he loved on his farm where he was the happiest. But no, he made sacrifices. He was willing to be there with his troops. And that's what gave them the courage to keep going, right? And he loved peace. He really worked hard for peace. That's another really important thing that I want to make sure folks know. You know, he believed in freedom. Freedom to say what we wanted, think what we want, share our ideas with others, and disagree. That's an important part of freedom, right? But then also staying unified. And that's what it's all about here on planet Earth. That's why I love being here with you guys. This is Amy's Kids Show, and we're going to keep celebrating George Washington again next week, because there's more to cover. Not only did he love to dance, but he loved to do lots of other things too. And I know you do too, right? All you guys out there, you think you're playing, you think you're fooling around, just having fun, but you're like George when he was young. You're learning all kinds of important things that you're going to need someday, because the world needs you, right? Because you are the greatest. Thanks for joining me. We'll be back next week. Have a great time.
Who can tell me a fact about George Washington?
He was president?
He was our first president. We owe him a lot. How about something else? Something specific?
He had false teeth?
Well, that is true, but how about something not everybody knows?
He could not...
It's true. For all the serious things he did for this country, people who knew him would say he loved to go to parties and he loved to dance.
George Washington loved to dance?
George Washington loved to dance!
1732. Someday he'd be the one they choose to run the red, white, and blue. You've seen his face, cause it's placed on the green $1. George Washington, our number one first founding father. The colonies were in need of someone who could lead them. Washington was the one to bring that taste of freedom. With George on board, the USA had a fighting chance. A revolutionary man who also loved to dance.
He loved to dance.
George Washington loved to dance.
He loved to dance.
George Washington.
Now let's set up the cabinetry.
With his wife Martha by his side, this country would advance. But one thing that we've learned today, he really loved to dance.
George Washington.